Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about episode 2 of Bismuth. Now, unfortunately, it is actually still hot in Australia, even though it's autumn, and reading about bromine, bromine, I just eventually lost consciousness as I was reading about it. So, look, I'm very interested in this particular element because it's intermediate between chlorine and iodine. It's an element that is sort of a diatomic one. If you pressurize it, it eventually becomes metallic. It's got sort of, unlike chlorine, it's got the full D shell electron inside. It's like it's a halogen on the outside, but it's got a little metal inside. So if you imagine iron as a metal, it's actually got the entire iron atom inside itself. It's now coated with it, so that's important. And the way that it does all the things halogens do, and they have a series here of it attacking double bonds in carbon molecules to tell you if it's, dehydrogenated. The bromine will attack it. It's a very interesting molecule here. The various bromides, it's actually it's trace elements. They've got it's used in it's used in industry and for adding to petrol. So the petrol puts out a beautiful sprinkling of lead bromide. It's what a beautiful idea, isn't it? It wasn't good enough to be lead. The problem of lead is it gets inside engines. Your lead becomes a lead-lined engine, so just protect the engine. Lead's no good for the engine, so they make sure it goes out to the rest of the population. They've got the beautiful picture of the Dead Sea and showing this something equivalent to almost half the size of the Dead Sea. This is the evaporation ponds used here, and it is sort of a global-scale production of bromine to come across here. And the idea that bromine is in the water supply comes out, and people not liking it. It's bromine is unstable, and then actually organobromines, the bromine comes off as a bromine ion, and the bromine ion tends to take electrons out of your radical, your flame. It's a fire retardant. So it's sort of like a point going across here. Now, just going to talk about, and then they've got this, a shipping of bromine. So they just take it out of the Dead Sea. And it's a pretty amazing thing that it's seen as an infinite supply of bromine from the Dead Sea, thousands of years supply for it. And you say, well, yes, but that's only just extracting the bromine. Like, it's not the entire ocean's bromine or anything, the world's bromine. It's a landlocked source of bromine, which you're just taking out. I just find that's amazing. I can appreciate that bromine would build up, but, you'd think that the sea would be a limited supply of bromine. I don't know. It doesn't look such a huge amount. Now, the applications. A wide variety of organobromine compounds are used industrially. Some are prepared from bromine and others are prepared from hydrogen bromide, which is obtained from burning hydrogen in bromine. So they've got all these ways of producing it. And you've got the full range of chlorates, from pool chlorine to the hospital grade racing. So if you add more and more oxygen to chlorine, you have hypo and perchlorate and various things I really want to go through and remember them. So, let's go. Flame retardants. Brominated flame retardants represent a commodity of growing importance to make up the largest commercial use of bromine. When the brominated material burns, the flame retardants produces hydrobromic acid, which interferes with the radical chain reactions of the oxidation reactions of the fire. Okay, so this is interesting. Hydrobromic acid. So that would be... So the bromine is oxidized, and it's got a hydrogen with it, so it's some sort of combination of... I'm just trying to think what that is, what bromic acid is. The mechanism is highly reactive hydrogen radicals, oxygen radicals, hydroxide radicals, reacts with hydrobromic acid to form less reactive bromine radicals, free bromine atoms. Oh dear. Bromine atoms may also react directly with the other radicals to terminate the free radical chain reactions that characterize combustion. And it really is a chain reaction that the production, the incomplete burning, like flame, is a whole series of incomplete burning. So if it burnt really efficiently, it will just burn in situ and burn out. It's the interesting thing is that flame is a good explosion, or good flame is pretty poor quality burning, which has to take over a large size. It's interesting to look at that. To make brominated polymers and plastics, bromine-containing compounds are incorporated into the polymer during polymerization. One method is to include a relatively small amount of brominated monomer during the polymerization process. For example, vinyl bromide can be used in production of polyethylene or polyvinyl, PVC, and polypropylene. Specifically, highly brominated molecules can be added to participate in polymerization process. For example, tetrabromobisphenol can be added to polyesters or epoxy resins where it becomes part of the polymer. Epoxies used in printed circuit boards are normally made of such flame retardant resins. PVC. PCBs. Yeah, I don't know what PCB. I wonder if this okay. Oh, there we go. Okay, epoxies used. Okay, indicated by the FR, the abbreviation products FR4 to FR2. In some cases, the bromine containing compound may be added after polymerization. For example, decarbodimethyl ether can be added to the final polymers. So they've got a beautiful example of this tetra. It's got four bromos, biphenyl, bisphenyl. It's a beautiful molecule, that one. I wish I could describe it, but it's got two bromines either side of a hydroxy, and then of a single hydroxy. In the opposite corner, you've got a branch off to a carbon, and they're sort of linked together in this most beautiful, beautiful molecule. I just wonder what it would look like in three dimension. A number of gaseous or highly volatile brominated halomethane compounds are non-toxic and make superior fire suppressant agents by this same mechanism. These are particularly effective in enclosed spaces such as submarines, aeroplanes, and spacecraft. However, they are expensive, and their production use has been greatly curtailed by the effect of ozone-depleting agents. They are no longer used in routine fire extinguishers, but retain niche use in aerospace and military automatic fire suppression applications. They include bromochloromethane halon, HCBrCl, and another halon. Wow. Silver bromide, other uses. Silver bromide is used either alone or in combination with silver chloride or silver iodide as a light sensitive constituent of photographic emulsions. Ethylene bromide which was an additive in gasolines containing lead anti-engine knocking agents. It scavenges the lead by forming volatile lead bromide, which is exhausted from the engine. An application accounted for 77% of the bromine used in 1966 in the US. This application declined since the 70s due to the environmental regulations see below. Poisonous bromomethane was widely used as a pesticide to fumigate soil and to fumigate housing by the tenting method. Oh, wow. So that may well be... So they build a house, completely build a tent around it. My godfather. Ethylene bromide was similarly used. These volatile organic bromide compounds are now regulated as ozone depleting agents. The Montreal Protocol on substances that deplete the ozone layer has scheduled the phase out of ozone depleting chemicals by 2005. And organobromide pesticides are no longer used in housing fumigation. They have been replaced by such compounds as sulfuryl fluoride, which contain neither chlorine nor bromine organics, which harm the ozone. Before the Montreal Protocol in 1991, for example, an estimated 35,000 tons of chemical use was to control worms, fungi, weeds, and other soil-borne diseases. Wow. I find that quite interesting. In pharmacology, inorganic bromine compounds, especially potassium bromide, were frequently used as a general sedative in the 19th and 20th century. Bromides in this form of simple salts are still used as anticonvulsants in both veterinary and human medicine, although the latter use varies from country to country. For example, the US Food and Drug Administration does not approve bromide for the treatment of any disease, and was removed from over-the-counter sedative products like Bromostelsa 75. Commercially available organobromine pharmaceuticals include vasodilator, nitroglycerin, nitroglycerin, the sedative Bioslam, an anti-cancer agent, Pipobromine, and antiseptic Meibromine. Otherwise, organobromine compounds are rarely pharmaceutically useful in contrast situation to the organofluorine compounds. Several drugs are produced as the bromine or equivalent hydrobromine salts. In such cases, bromine serves as a noxious counterion for of no biological significance. Other use for organobromine compounds include high-density drilling fluids, dyes, such as Tyrone Purple and the indicator bromethyl blue, and pharmaceuticals. Bromine itself, as well as some of its compounds, are used in water treatment as a precursor to a variety of inorganic compounds with an enormous number of applications, silver bromide and photography. Zinc bromide batteries are hybrid flow batteries used for stationary electrical power backup and storage from household scale to industrial scale. I haven't heard too much of it. Now here's a picture of a clock. Baltimore's Emerson Bromostelsa Tower, originally part of the headquarters of the Emerson Drug Company, made Bromostelsa. So there's a tower of a company which made a lot of money from it. A biological role in toxicity. A 2014 study suggested that bromine, in one form of the bromide iron, is necessary cofactor for biosynthesis of collagen, making the element essential to the basement Melbourne membrane architecture and tissue development of in animals. Nevertheless, no clear deprivation symptoms or symptoms has been documented. In other biological functions, bromine may be non-essential but still beneficial when it takes the place of chlorine. For example, in the presence of peroxide, H2O2, formed by eosinophil, and either chlorine or bromine ion, eosinophil peroxidase proves a potent mechanism by which Eosinophil kills multicellular parasites, such as, for example, the nematode worms involved in Phasteris, and some bacteria, such as tuberculosis bacteria. Eosinophil peroxidase is a haloperoxidase that preferentially uses bromine over chlorine for its purpose, generating hypobromite through the use of, though the use of chlorine is possible. Well, there you go. Alpha haloesters are generally thought to be highly reactive and consequently toxic intermediately in organic synthesis. Nevertheless, mammals, including humans, cats, rats, appear to biosynthesize traces of alpha bromoester 2-oxy-4-bromo-3-oxybutynate, which is found in their cerebral fluid and appears to play a yet unclarified role, including REM sleep. Neutrophil myeloperoxidase can use peroxide and Br- to brominate deoxycytin, which could result in DNA mutations. Marine organisms that are the main source of organobromine compounds, and it is in these organisms that bromine is more firmly shown to be essential. More than 1,600 of such organobromine compounds were identified by 1999. The most abundant of these is methyl bromide, which is CH3Br, which is estimated to 556,000 tons is produced by marine algae each year. The essential oil of Hawaiian alga consists of 80% bromoform. Much of the organobromine compounds in the sea are made from the action of this unique algal enzyme, vanadium bromoperoxidase. Wow, that's really interesting. This is the first time I've ever seen used bromine used. And here's got this really long molecule for bromine on it. I don't know why they put methane group there. I don't understand that. I'm just looking at this molecule. The bromine anion is not very toxic. A normal intake of 2 to 8 milligrams. However, high levels of bromine chronically impair the membrane of neurons, which progressively impairs neuron transmissions, leading to toxicity known as bromism. Bromine is by elimination half-life of 9 to 12 days, which can lead to excessive accumulation. Doses of 0.5 to 1 gram per day of bromine can lead to bromism. Historically, therapeutic dose of bromine is about 3 to 5 grams of bromine, thus explaining why the chronic toxicity was once so common. While significant and sometimes serious disturbances occur to neurologic, psychiatric, and dermatological and gastrointestinal functions, death from bromism is rare. Bromism is caused by a neurotoxic effect on the brain, which results in somnolence, psychosis, seizures, and delirium. Elemental bromine is toxic and causes chemical burns to human flesh. Inhaling bromine gas results in similar irritation of the respiratory tract, causing coughing, choking, shortness of breath, and death if inhaled in large amounts. Chronic exposure may lead to frequent bronchial infections and general deterioration of health. As a strong oxidizing agent, bromine is incompatible with most organic, and inorganic compounds. Caution is required then transporting bromine. It is commonly carried in steel tanks lined with lead supported by a strong metal frames. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration of the United States has set as a permissible exposure level for bromine at a time weight average of 0.1 parts per million. The National Institute for Occupational Health and Safety, NOSH, has set recommended exposure levels, REL, to a TWA trade time weighted average of 0.1 parts per million, a short term limit of 0.3, so you can spike. The exposure to bromine immediately dangerous to life and health, IDLH, is 3 parts per million, three times higher. 10 times higher. Bromine is classified as an extremely hazardous substance in the United States, as defined by Section 302, the U.S. Emergency Planning Community Right to Know Act. Is subject to strict reporting requirements by facilities which produce, store, and use it in significant quantities. Thanks for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.